under the Kincaid administration, the council would begin asking for the budget in February or March and pester them week after week after week. We haven't heard any of that through this budget cycle. And so all of a sudden we get this dropped on us. And there are a lot of surprises in this budget, but there are lots of boards and agencies that got their budgets cut, some completely, and those people aren't going to be happy. And I'm sure they're going to show up with pitchforks and torches at City Hall demanding to have their funding reinstated.
Why do you think it's been so last minute?
One of the reasons why it's been so last minute is the council has just sort of been remiss in its job to keep abreast of what's going on with this. They haven't been doing the checks and balance that they normally do. We haven't even seen things like public hearings for the budget as we've seen in the past.
The mayor's office says times are tough. They can't afford to support some outside groups, especially if they're providing duplicative services. They point to several groups serving the needs of people, for example, with HIV and AIDS, and it seems like a solid argument. Why split the pie into little pieces of multiple organizations when you could just give one group a bigger chunk of change? Is that a solid argument?
Well, the hard thing in the past has been choosing who's going to be that one group. All right, if you have five organizations in front of you and you're going to pick one of them, to be that the organization that gets all that money, well, then the other, you're going to make four of them really upset. Rather than sort of tackling that problem in the past, the city has just, you know, split the pie, you know, five ways. Now they're splitting it no ways. There's no pie.
Despite the budget cuts to some groups, the mayor told city council members, there's still money to pay for projects like the downtown stadium, a new fair park, a pre-kindergarten program, and improvements at the zoo. How can that be?
I think the mayor's favorite phrase is, the money is there. Whenever he has a project that he wants to do, the money is there. Whenever it's a project that someone else wants to do, well, it's tough times and we have to tighten our belts. I haven't had a chance, an opportunity yet to really pour through this budget, but, you know, we see a $6 million decrease in expenditures, but there's also a $13 million decrease in revenue projections. So, you know, why aren't those numbers matching up? Also, later in the day Tuesday, he tells the Birmingham News that if the county collapses, if the county fails, it's going to be the city, it's going to be up to the city of Birmingham to pick up funding for Cooper Green Hospital. That's an enormous expense. And there's obviously a disconnect or a cognitive dissonance between, you know, these two states of mind, but, you know, they are in one mind, and that's the mayor's.
Now, over on the Jefferson County side, Commission President Betty Fine Collins says departments have until June 1st to come up with a plan to cut 33% of their budget. This is preparing for the possibility that there will be no occupational tax. Does that mean they actually have to cut the budget this summer or just have a plan to cut the budget?
There's a difference of legal opinion from the plaintiffs in this case in the county. There is an old law which says that, you know, that the county is relying on, which says that if they appeal a lower court's decision, it is then stayed. It's sort of stopped in its tracks until it has a chance to sort of go through the appeals process. What the county is arguing is that since they are appealing this to the Alabama Supreme Court, that Judge Rain's decision that the county cannot collect this tax or spend this tax is stayed, and they can continue to spend the occupational taxes until the Supreme Court makes some sort of decision. And I think the Supreme Court will make a decision fairly quickly on that matter, and you know, it could be weeks or months before they make a decision on the other.
Now, the sheriff's office says no way a plan like this, cutting 33% of their budget, would compromise public safety. Can the sheriff just flat out refuse to come up with a plan?
Sheriff's office has never been keen on cutting its budget and never does so voluntarily. You know, the money has to come from the commission, and, you know, what will likely happen is if the sheriff refuses to cut his budget, then, you know, the county will be forced to do it for him. And, you know, that's really not a great way to make these kind of decisions.
There are a couple of ways to cut expenses. The approach of Betty Fine Collins seems to be equal cuts across the board. Another approach would be to eliminate certain departments completely or have more drastic cuts in some areas and less drastic in others. Now, I know you raised this issue with Commissioner Collins earlier this week. What was her response?
Well, I think they're just doing what comes naturally to them, and what comes naturally to them is to do what we see with proration, where it's, all right, everybody takes a 2% cut or a 4% cut. You can do that when it's a 2% or a 4% cut. I don't think that you can do that when it's a 33% cut on top of an existing 10% cut. You're cutting more than 40% of your budget. When you cut that deep, you really have to begin making choices.
It's not local government, but it's certainly big news today. Former HealthSouth CEO Richard Scrushy has been on the stand all morning in the civil trial regarding the accounting fraud at the company he founded. You've been waiting for this day for 6 years, Kyle. So what did Mr. Scrushy have to say for himself this morning?
Yeah, this has been one of my pet topics. It's very interesting to finally get to hear this. I mean, he and his attorney have been, working through this alternative narrative that we've never really heard except in bits and pieces and sound bites until now. And what he's saying is that, first off, they are saying that there were multiple accounting systems that were being used at HealthSouth because of all these mergers and acquisitions that they did. And so they couldn't really consolidate all these systems into one, and so that allowed his accounting staff and his CFOs to dupe him and not give him the figures that he needed that would have allowed him to see the fraud. And, of course, this contradicts everything that all the CFOs have said, the accounting staff has said. They've said that they provided him with these numbers, that he saw the numbers, that they talked to him about the fraud. He contradicts all of that and, says that he was a victim of what happened at HealthSouth.